You can't outgive God. You just can't. No matter how much you try, you can't outgive God. You can't outbless Him. You can't outgive Him. And today you're going to discover that when you try, you will experience an overflow. How many of you desire to have the overflow of blessing upon your life? That we all do, right? Like, there's a principle that we have discovered as a church that it started with God's promise in Genesis that He says, I want to bless you so you can be a blessing to others. And that principle is woven throughout Scripture all the way to Jesus' words, who said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so imagine an overflow happening. Imagine that when you were abiding every day in the presence of the Lord in your secret place, and then when we come together on a Sunday morning or during your small group, it's just an overflow of our love for the Lord, our love for each other, and our praise for God. That there's an overflow in our words and how we encourage each other. An overflow. We just can't help but tell people the good news of Jesus. There's an overflow of what God is doing in our church and our lives, and that's what we're going to see happen by faith in this series. So I'm so glad that you are here. Please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We are going to discover how blessing and an overflow follows generosity. And I know that some of you here are so generous. I mean, together as a church, for the first time, we gave over $1 million to Kingdom Builders, and that 750 of those $1,000 came right here from GFC Northwest. Praise God for what He did in and through us. That's incredible. We're believing for God for more this year. But some of you, you're not there yet. And you're just learning about generosity. And so it's kind of, think of it like a muscle. The more you use it, the more it grows. Anybody here just desire to be more generous with your words, with your just your money, your resources, your home? We all desire to be more generous than we are. I desire to be more generous than I am today. And by God's grace and strength, He'll help me and He will help you. But some of you, you're just warming up to the idea. You think, well, I'll be more generous when our country gets to be more stable. Maybe when inflation and the interest rate set by the central bank come down, then I'll be more generous. Or you think, I'll be more generous when I have a better job. Or I'll be more generous when I have a bigger bank balance. Or maybe just a bank balance. Some of you are like, I'll be more generous when I get out of debt. Or some of you are like, I have resources, but I just want to make sure that we're okay. And listen, I get it. I have had every single one of those thoughts over the last 4 decades of my life. And I have discovered that God's word is true, and that when we put Him to the test, that He can grow. And so I just want you to be open wherever you're at in your journey. Some of you are not generous. You're greedy. But God wants us to grow to be generous like His character. For God so loved the world that He what? That He gave. And so if we're created in His image and we want to do what He says, because He's a generous God, we are to be a generous people. So be open to what that looks like. Be open of how God would stretch your faith. And so in the early years of our church, we wanted to be generous. We wanted to bless others. We knew that we were going to be a church planting church. And so God put that in our hearts, that we were going to give to start other churches, that we were going to send people from this church to start other churches. We knew it was in our DNA from the very beginning. So we wanted to have a moment on our very first service as a church on February 10th, 2008, as a leadership team. Even though we had no more money in that bank account, we said we're going to give the entire offering away to help start a new church on the island of Zanzibar off the coast of Tanzania in partnership with Dixon Kanganga, a pastor there, and start a new church. I've been there twice. I've been to that church, and praise God, it's still there. But it was a faith moment for our young, small church to just give that offering away. And then on our one-year anniversary, we started a Spanish church right here in our city. On our second-year anniversary, we sent people and gave an offering to start a church on the west side. On our third anniversary, we sent a pastor and a team to start a church in downtown San Antonio at the old Borden Milk Factory. And so we just kept starting churches and giving to God. And we just started all these churches. And then probably one of the greatest moments of faith was coming out of the pandemic when we started 6 churches in 1 year. We gave almost $1 million from Kingdom Builders and savings and general fund. And it was a big step of faith because we sent about 600 people out and a lot of money to fund these churches. And we just wanted to give God all the glory because it was the 100x vision. We believe that God's going to help us be able to start 100 churches for his glory. Are you grateful to be a part of what God is doing for his vision? And that's why we're excited this year to give to Kingdom Builders, to see more churches started in Africa, and to give to Kingdom Builders next week for India. We want to see a brand new church start in India, and we're going to give to Project Rescue, which is a ministry to see women, young ladies, rescued out of sex slavery and discipled and won for the Lord. So we're going to be giving. It's on our heart to get $30,000 towards that next week for the glory of God. And so as a result of the reason why I'm telling you these stories is that it always didn't make sense to take these steps of faith to give. But what we've discovered is that God always took care of our needs. We couldn't outgive him. He always blessed. He always provided our needs and then some. To date, we have received just over $11 million in free buildings and property all across our network. That's a miracle. Praise God for that, including if you're new, the land that we're worshiping on right now, Hobby Lobby bought it for $2 million and just said, here, no strings attached, just gave it to us. We have seen miracle after miracle of God's blessing. And so the principles that we discovered as a church are true for us as individual followers of Christ. And so we're going to look into God's word, starting in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul is writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to the church in Corinth, and he says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their what kind of joy? Overflowing joy, and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, and they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to God's people." So Paul's writing to this church in Corinth, and he's telling them the testimony of the churches in that Macedonia area, and they were poor, dirt poor, but they experienced the overwhelming joy of God because they were giving, and they were looking forward. I don't know if they were going through a pandemic or there was some kind of crisis in their church or community, but in the midst of a severe trial, they were still giving beyond their ability, and there was a blessing there that followed that generosity. So Paul is using that moment of generosity to inspire that church and inspire this church, that these words would come alive in our heart, that we would put God to the test, that we would have faith. And so there's to do this, to experience God's overflow in our life, requires a shift of mindset in 3 ways. The first is a shift in our mindset of not enough to more than enough. A lot of times we don't give or we're not generous simply is because we have a scarcity attitude. We don't have enough, so we shouldn't try. We shouldn't take steps of faith. And the Bible is filled with examples from the Old Testament to the New Testament that what didn't look possible with man, with what we can see, when we trust God and give him all the glory, he does the miracle, right? And so It's understanding that our God is a God of abundance, amen? That he created it all, it's all his, and that we need to operate, we need to shift our mindset into thinking that we don't need to have that not enough to we have more than enough because God has all the resources. And he wants to not only provide to meet your needs above and beyond, but he wants to bless you so you can meet the needs of other people. Ephesians 3:20 says he wants to do beyond what you can even imagine or think. And so this was true in the early days of our church when we were really struggling financially, and it was tight because our church was growing and we were doing multiple services, up to 3 services in the movie theater. And then we got this land, and many people in our church, we were a lot smaller then, but they sold their property and sold vehicles, and we had some savings that we were able to put as a down payment, but we borrowed as many dollars as the bank would allow us to have. And then we built phase 1, right? But after a year and a half, we were running 5 weekend worship services, 4 on Sunday, 1 on Saturday, and it was taking its toll. And we were like, man, we got to go to phase 2 a lot earlier than what we thought. So we went to that bank again, and we currently have about $7 million in debt, but we're not going to allow that to keep us from being generous and providing resources to our churches. And what God has done in the past, he wants to do over and over. Just this last fall, Stephanie and Mario and I were in Huatuco, Oaxaca, Mexico, with a pastor and his wife in a little school. And in this school, we were there to see if God was leading us to help partner to see a new church get started. And we talked for hours in this school. At the end of our conversation, it was evident that this pastor who felt called to the ministry, that they were unwilling to start a church. And so we had the faith, but they didn't quite have it yet. So we just began to pray. We got on our knees. We walked around that school, and we began to say, we cast vision, and we pray, said, hey, you're not by yourself. We'll come alongside of you. We will encourage you. We will train you, and we will take up an offering for Kingdom Builders. And if we do that and help provide this as a resource, what do you say? And you know what they said? Yes. And in the next several weeks, they're about to have a grand opening worship service at this school. So praise God. But that's because of your generosity that it's making that happen. And it's easy to hear these type of stories and go, wow, in God's economy, it doesn't always make logical sense. And some of you maybe think, well, it's easy to give when it's not your money. And the reality of that is it's true. It's easier to give when it's not your money. And that's really the second point. It's easier to give when it's not your money. And so the first mindset shift is not enough to more than enough. The second shift that we need to have in our mind is it goes from my resources to God's resources. David wrote in 1 Chronicles 29:14, he says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Man, it was put to the test when David went from being a shepherd to a king and raising the funds to build the temple and the building. And he said, hey, the whole earth belongs to the Lord. It all comes from God. We're simply stewarding his resources when we move from my stuff to God's stuff. That God he's looking for vessels. He's looking for conduits to flow through. Now, I have learned in my marriage and then also in the marriages of others that in a couple, there's usually one person who manages the money, right? That writes the checks, does the online bill. If you're that person all over this room, will you just raise your hand? All right. And then there's someone in the marriage who's the spender. My wife Stephanie's like, who are the spenders in the room? Y'all are usually more generous too, by the way, but with the spender and then the man, there can be tension, right? And that there can be arguments over money. In fact, one of the leading causes of divorce, the reason, is money issues in marriages. And Stephanie and I have been married 29 years. Later this month, we're celebrating our anniversary. Thank you. And early on, things were tight. Like when I graduated college, had some student loan, we got our first job in ministry at a small church in McKinney, Texas, as youth pastors and janitors. And our weekly pay together was $150 a week. And so on the first Sunday of every month, we'd wrote out a tithe check. I was so grateful. My parents modeled for me, and every job I had, from paper routes to fast food restaurants, the first 10% goes to the Lord. So $60 a month went to the Lord. And then we would pay rent, $350 for our apartment. And that left us with about $190 for fuel, utilities, and food. We ate a lot of macaroni and cheese, ramen noodles, and frozen pizzas. Like, that was it for us. But God was faithful, and he always provided. And although we had tension at the beginning, we kept trusting, we kept being faithful to the Lord, and he provided over and over. And I can tell you that over the last two decades, we have not had a single argument over money issues, because here's the reason, it's not ours, it's God's. Every time, and a couple of years before we moved home to San Antonio, we were at a church, and we went on a missions trip to Germany. And while we were there, God gave me a dream and gave me a burden of someone in need. I saw this like he was standing outside, and there was no roof over his head. And the next day, I heard about a Teen Challenge director in Czech Republic who was in need. And so I knew it was the Lord. I got on a train by myself, took the 7-hour train ride, and met Vitek and Lucy, and went to their apartment. And the government was giving them a building for their ministry, but they couldn't use it because the roof was not up to code. It needed to be fixed. And so the Lord just put in our heart, when I got home, to sell my duck boat and with some savings to give $9,000 and bring it before our church family. And together we gave $25,000 to meet that need. God blessed our family in ways that I don't have time to tell you. But stories like that help me depend on the Lord and increase my faith. So when God called us home to San Antonio to start our church, we were debt-free. We could do it. We had some savings. We exhausted some savings. And when we had that very first offering, there was no salary. We exhausted our savings. And for the first time in our lives, we gave an offering on our credit card. We were paying bills on our credit card. And I knew it wouldn't last. So we went out on a Monday to Starbucks to get Stephanie a job at Starbucks here in Lotus, and then I went to Gold's Gym to get an application to turn it. Can you imagine in our community going to Gold's? Just some of you wouldn't work out just seeing me. Or you'd never get your coffee from Stephanie. You'd be too busy talking, right? But the next day after turning in those applications, I was at the gym, and I was witnessing to a guy, and he asked to hear my story while I was there, and I told him that we were here to plant a church. Within 15 minutes of the conversation, he was a lawyer, and he wrote out two checks. He had never come to our church. One check for $5,000 to Gateway, and another check for $5,000 to our family, the Van Pays. And God got us through for two more months as a church and our family, and he provided. We have young kids at home, and we were able to still stay focused. All glory to the Lord. But I tell you this because it's just that one simple mindset. It's God, all of these are your resources. We're just your vessels to expand your kingdom and spread your love to this community. And God blesses, and he provides over and over. And there's a third shift that needs to happen in our mindset if you want the overflow in your life, and that is, I'll give when to I'll give now. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 8, verse 11, it reads, now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. And Paul's writing to this church and saying, hey, at the very beginning when you gave some and you were eager, but you stopped. And now you need to follow through to what you've committed. It's not enough to have good intentions. It's not enough just to make a pledge, to have the motive. At some point, by faith, we've got to take that step of faith. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, and we need to trust God, and we need to give. And that's what the Word tells us, that, Lord, hey, what if we had that mindset to say, God, I don't want to keep living my life in a way that I'm only going to trust you or take steps because of a fixed amount or only when things look good on paper. But Lord, I'm going to trust you are a God of abundance and you want us to trust you as a father. Maybe the mindset you need to have is like, I'm going to let go. I'm holding all of my stuff and my kid. I got to have control. And God wants to free you. He wants to set you free from this grip of greed that's on, that you think is yours, and just trust the Lord with it. And say, God, I'm open-handed. Everything I have comes from you. I want to steward it well. And some of you, you've made like commitments to the Lord, but they were conditional, or it's like down the road. And maybe the Lord's saying, hey, right now, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me.